On behalf of Pastor Joe and all of us here at Mount Hope Church, we hope this message not only blesses you, but seeds you with the faith to live this life as a believer in Jesus Christ.
Well, we're continuing the series in the Sermon on the Mount, the greatest sermon ever preached. And thus far in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus has talked about a couple of spiritual disciplines. He talked about the discipline of giving, and he's talked about the discipline of prayer. He really expounded on that of prayer. And the third spiritual discipline that we're going to cover from this chapter is that of fasting. Now, why should people fast? It's, to be honest, you don't hear a lot about fasting in the church. You don't see, fasting is not real common, it's not real popular, and not, I think comparatively, not a lot of Christians do much fasting. So why should we fast? You know, and let's take a look. Let's read Matthew 6, 16 through 18. This is the content or the verses that we're going to be speaking from today. Jesus said, when you fast. He didn't say, if you fast. So there's the expectation. He also said that in when we give and when we pray. He said, not if you give and if you pray and if you fast, but when you fast. Do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So what does fasting do for us? Okay. The first thing, one thing that fasting does, I believe, is that it reveals the seriousness of intent. Okay? It shows God that, Lord, and prayer and fasting go together. So when you fast, you really want to pray. This is Joe speaking. It's almost like fasting puts your, it's like prayer on steroids. You know, it turns up the volume of our prayers. Fasting, I believe, really gets God's attention, and it shows him that we're serious about the things that we're praying for and that we're burdened for. And let me give you the basic definition of fasting, biblical definition. It means basically to abstain from food, okay? To abstain from food. And there are variations to fast. Daniel fasted fruits and vegetables, and people can, you know, fast differently, but basically what it means is to abstain from food. So what I want to do this morning is I want to go through the scriptures and look at why did they fast. And I think when we see why many in scripture fasted, that we can learn from those things, because fasting is a very, very important thing. It's, you don't hear many sermons on it, you just don't hear much about it, but yet Jesus addressed it. So let's take a look at why they fasted in the Old Testament and in the New. The first reason people fasted, or one reason, is because of crisis situations. They found themselves in a crisis, and they needed divine intervention. They needed God to move in the miraculous ways that only God can. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, David had a critically ill son, and he prayed and he fasted for his son. In Esther chapter 4, there was a plot. There was a plot to annihilate the Jews. There was a law that was passed. The Jews are going to be attacked, and they could not defend themselves. And they went and they cried out to God in prayer and fasting that somehow God would move to stop this annihilation that was going to take place. And how many of you know that's a crisis situation? And so let me say this, that if you ever find yourself in any type of a crisis situation, fasting can help you break through to victory. Now, we can pray, and oftentimes in crisis situations, our motivation for prayer goes way up, and we pray a lot more. But if we can couple our praying with fasting, I believe it's going to make it even that much more effective. Because we know that God can make a way where there is no way. And He can move mountains. You know, and oftentimes crisis situations are like mountains staring us in the face. And so I encourage you that if you're in a time of crisis, pray and fast and see what God will do. The second reason why they fasted in Scripture was to help others. Fasting can help others who are in crisis. And let me say this, is that when you choose to fast for someone else, I think it is one of the most selfless acts of love that can be demonstrated from one person to another. Because let's face it, we have to eat to live, and we love to eat. I'm a living testimony of that. You know, and when you are willing to say, I'm going to deny myself some food, I'm going to fast, and again, not eating is different than fasting, okay? You know, you can skip a meal because you're too busy to eat and say, well, I think I'll just say I'm fasting. Yeah, I don't think it's going to be really that effective, all right? Because it's the heart attitude. You know, when we fast, when we intentionally deny ourselves food, and then we couple that with prayer, then it really becomes a potent force. We see in Esther chapter 4 that the Jews fasted for Queen Esther, who was going before the king unannounced. And if you're not familiar with the story, there was a law passed, you know, for the Jews to be annihilated, and Queen Esther, who was a Jew, Esther asked all the Jews to pray and fast for 3 days, and no food, no water for 3 days, and she said, I and my maids will do the same thing, but I'll go before the king. And the law was, if you went before the king unannounced, and he was in a grumpy mood that day, or he didn't want to see you, he could order your execution on the spot. Even if it was your wife. No worries here. So literally, Esther was putting her life on the line to go in and to try to talk to the king, because he was kind of tricked into signing the law, but to convince the king to do something to stop this. And so in preparation for Esther going in, she had a time of prayer and fasting, and you know that it turned out well. The king received her, and God moved in that situation. Exodus 34, we see that Moses, he fasted and prayed 40 days and 40 nights. Not only did he go without food, but he went without water. Now that's supernatural, because you just, you know. It's absolutely amazing. But Moses went up there on behalf of Israel. And he prayed and fasted for 40 days, and he got God's direction and the Ten Commandments and the law and many things. So we see the Jews fasting for Esther. We see Moses fasting for the nation of Israel. And so we can fast when we're in a crisis situation. We can fast to help others who may be in crisis situations. The third reason they fasted was for God's protection. Was for God's protection. Ezra chapter 8, Israel had been defeated and taken captive into Babylon. And over a period of time, the king of Babylon said to the priest Ezra, he said, he gave his blessing for Ezra to take a group of Jews back to Israel, and specifically to Jerusalem. But it was a very dangerous trip for them to take, because there are people who didn't want to see Jerusalem rebuilt. And so Ezra called for a time of prayer and fasting for the trip before they left. And one thing that tells me that it's a good idea that if you've got a big trip planned, if you're going somewhere, or you've got a big event, or something is happening out of the ordinary, consider a time of prayer and fasting, that you could receive God's protection as you move into this event. All right, because if you're doing something powerful for the Lord, that's going to stir some things up in the spiritual realm, isn't it? And you want to pray and fast and for God's protection. I know when Troy Thompson came out a few weeks ago to minister, we called for 3 days of prayer and fasting, and I hope many of you did fast. I know that Troy and his team fasted for us to come out here because they wanted to see God's, the outpouring of God's Spirit in those services. And I really believe that God honored that. So, anyway, it's a good idea. You've got a big trip planned, you've got a big event, pray and fast in preparation for that. The fourth reason they fasted in Scripture is that it was an act of humility. David said in Psalm 35 that I humbled my soul with fasting. You know, the Bible says that God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble, right? When we humble ourselves before the Lord, that gets his attention. Okay? Because it is an acknowledgement of our dependency upon God. Pride says, God, I can do it my way. I really don't need you to help me in this. But when we humble ourselves, we're acknowledging, Lord, without you, I'm nothing. God, I need your intervention. I need your help in this situation. And God sees that humility and he opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. He was a proud get put down, but the humble God will exalt and move on their behalf. So we see that. And again, Ezra, when he called for this time of fasting for protection, he said to Israel, we are going to humble ourselves in this time, a season of time of prayer and fasting, in preparation for our trip. Then the fifth reason why they fasted in Scripture is to stop judgment. In Joel chapter 1 and in chapter 2, Israel, if you read the history of Israel, you'll see that there are times that they would walk in obedience to God and his word, and God would bless them. His hand of protection would be upon them. But when they would walk away from God's truth and started doing their thing and walk in disobedience to God, he would warn them, he had sent prophetic warnings and all these things. And eventually, if Israel would not listen, God would remove his hand of protection. Those enemies that could not defeat Israel in the past would come in and defeat Israel. And sometimes God would just allow things to happen to Israel. And then Israel would have this epiphany that, oh my goodness, look what's happening to us. And they realize, they would look and realize that they have really strayed from the Lord. And the result of that was some type of judgment that God allowed on Israel. And so they would go into a time of prayer and repentance and fasting, seeking God to lift that hand of judgment, and often he did. I think the best thing that you and I can do for the United States of America is in some type of a regular basis to pray and to fast on behalf of this nation, because we mirror Israel in so many ways. You know, we are a nation that was established on biblical truth. We honor God, we glorify God, but this nation is becoming more and more secular and is rejecting God's truth more and more. And you know, we want to get right people in political office, which, by the way, if you haven't registered to vote, you can do so after the service. This week and next, Georgia, where are you? I keep forgetting to mention it, so she's right there. But we need to pray for the United States of America. And we need to fast. When you couple your prayers with fasting, it, like I said, it gets God's attention. It shows that this is, Lord, I'm serious about this issue. And I think that we need to really, really be serious about the United States. You know, we can get, you know, it's nice and it's good to have Christians in political office and that type of a thing, but how many of you know that we're in a spiritual battle? And more than anything else, you know, we have to fight spiritual with spiritual, and one of the best ways that we can do that is just commit ourselves to times of prayer and fasting and intercession on behalf of the United States of America. That will accomplish as much more than anything. The sixth reason why they fasted was to stay pure. You can read in Daniel, I have the verses in your outlines. Daniel, when Israel was taken captive into Babylon, Daniel, they took the choices of the young men and wanted to train them and groom them for the king's service. And they wanted to kind of fatten them up a little bit and wanted to feed them the king's food, which is rich and you know, kind of elite food. But it would have violated Jewish law, because much of what the king of Babylon ate, the Jewish people were forbidden to eat. And David wanted to keep himself pure before the Lord, so he asked the guard, he said, you know, allow me to eat fruit and vegetables for a period of time. And if I look bad, if I look worse than everybody else, because this guard, he could have lost his life. If all of a sudden David and the other ones that had fasted with him, what we call, or not David, Daniel. I've been saying Daniel. And what we know is the Daniel fast, fruits and vegetables. That if all of a sudden these guys started really looking bad, the guard could lose his life because of not obeying the king's order of giving them the king's food. And Daniel said, you know, give it a period of time, and if we don't look good, then you can go ahead and we'll eat it, and so on and so forth. Well, it ended up that their appearance was better than anybody else's. Okay, and God honored the fact that they kept themselves pure. And one thing I've learned through fasting is that fasting will bring a discipline into our life that will help us to resist temptation and compromise. It's all around us. There's a lot of the world's delicacies that may not be sin to partake of, but will it help us in our walk with the Lord, or will it hurt us? Okay, and David wanted to stay pure. And I think it's good for us as believers to be in the world but not of the world, and so that we can try to live as holy and pure life as we can. And fasting will help us to deny ourselves some of the fleshly pleasures, if you will. The seventh reason they fasted, we find in Mark 17, was to break spiritual strongholds. Jesus was with some disciples up in the mountain, and all the other disciples were left below, and there's a boy that's demon-possessed, and they could not cast out the demon. And then all of a sudden Jesus came down, and there's this ruckus going on down at the bottom of the mountain. And they said, what's going on? What's going on? And they said, Jesus, we can't cast this demon out. I think the dad talked to Jesus. Jesus just kind of shook his head. And he cast it out. Just like that, Jesus had absolutely no problem whatsoever casting this demon out. Have you ever run into problems casting a demon? You know? And And the disciples pulled Jesus off to the side and said, Jesus, why couldn't we cast out demons? And many of you know Jesus' response. Only some of those will come out only through what? Prayer and fasting. So there's an element of fasting that it's a crucial element in breaking spiritual strongholds in people's lives. You know, and we cannot underestimate the importance of this, okay? Because today people are bound by a lot of things, a lot of addictions. Could be alcohol, could be drugs, could be pornography. It could be many, many things. And they try and they try and they try and they just can't seem to get their victory on it. But I tell you what, a season of prayer and fasting can strengthen and empower for victory, okay? And then the final one I want to talk about is that fasting at times was an act of worship. In Acts 13, we see that some of the church leaders had gathered around. You know, they weren't going to watch a ball game. They got together and they said, the Bible says, and they were ministering to the Lord and fasting. They got together saying, isn't that nice to know that we can minister to the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, all of creation? We can minister to Him. And we do that by our worship, by our praying, and our fasting. Fasting can be a form of worship. And the result was amazing. Because in this meeting, it said the Holy Spirit set apart Saul and Barnabas, Saul being Paul, for the work I've chosen for them. Paul and Barnabas were called to the mission field in that meeting. A life-altering experience. When we get together to minister to the Lord in our worship, God can speak in ways that will change the course of lives. I want to encourage you, once in a while, the worship will get going. Try to be in here by 10 o'clock or before. Because once in a while, you know, the worship is going on and there's a lot of people out in the family room just visiting and chatting. Fellowship is great, but there can be time for that afterwards. Come on in and enter into worship. Because you're really missing a lot when we're out there visiting, all right? Because when we come together and worship from the heart, we are ministering to the Lord. Yeah, but you never heard me sing. God does not care. You know, I have this issue. I'm not that good of a singer. I don't know anything about singing. I've been threatening Joni for years about her and I doing a duet. then I reconciled my inability to sing this way. Lord, you're the one that gave me this voice. If you don't like to hear me sing, if you don't like it, you can change it, Lord. So I have peace with that. I'm not sure anybody hears me has it, but it's nice to know that fasting and prayer and just coming before the Lord and worshiping Him and acknowledging Him is a wonderful act of worship that we can minister to the Creator of heaven and earth. It can be life-changing, absolutely life-changing. You know, but understand, these guys were intentional about gathering together. All right? They were intentional. They had to choose rather than staying home to watch TV or rather than doing something else. They were intentional to gather together with the idea of not being ministered to by the Lord, but to minister to the Lord. And it became a life-changing experience for some. If you are not yet coming out to Sunday night Bible study, please come. Be intentional about coming out. It can be a life-changing experience for you, okay? So let's take a couple of minutes. Those are some reasons why they fasted throughout Scripture, both Old Testament and New. But what about Jesus and fasting? I mean, Jesus is the example. Well, we see that Jesus fasted 40 days before beginning his earthly ministry. And he modeled fasting for us. And my thought is this. If Jesus needed to fast, what do you think you and I probably need to fast from time to time? Jesus said in his teaching, not if you fast, but when you fast. And we see the disciples into Acts long after Jesus' ascension, that the New Testament church had the practice of fasting. And Jesus went on in Matthew 6, the verses that we read opening the message, to give some clear instruction about fasting. And again, there's the assumption not if we fast, but when we fast. In essence, this is what Jesus was telling everybody about when you fast. The first thing he told them is don't do it to be seen. Don't do it to be seen. Verse 16 says this. When you fast, do not look somber as hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward in full. So you get the picture? You know, the religious leaders, they're fasting. But you knew they were fasting. You know, they looked the part because they wanted everybody to go, you're so spiritual. Wow. And you get the pat on the back and the applause on the hand. Jesus said, they got their reward in full. You know, so when we fast, Jesus said, don't do it to be seen. Don't. And God knows the motive, the intent of our heart. So if we're fasting for the wrong reasons, you know, the applause of man is all the reward that's going to come out of that. And the second bit of instruction that Jesus gave was look and smell clean. In other words, don't stink. In verse 17, he says, but when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face. Take care of your appearance. Not only, you know, don't look gloomy, but make the extra effort to. I tell you what, when you're fasting, people shouldn't smell you before they see you. You know what I'm talking about? And people should not know that you're fasting. All right? I mean, you know, you get up, you take a shower, you shave, you put on deodorant, you know, and you put on, you know, fresh clothes, and you go out and you just do what you normally do on an everyday basis. You don't bring attention to yourself in any way. And then third point Jesus makes is that God rewards those who fast with pure motives. Verse 18 says, God rewards those who fast pure motives so that it will, verse 18, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So the goal isn't to tell everybody, hey, I'm fasting. Some people are going to find out, and you don't make a big deal of it, okay? But the purpose and the motive, the intention of your heart is that this is a thing that you and God are doing, okay? Now, there are times that you can fast individually. There are times that we do corporate fasts. You know, so you know that other people are fasting. That's okay. As long as you're not, you know, putting it out on in cyberspace. I am fasting! You know, that type of thing. It's something you and God do. Right? It's between you and God, even though you do it individually or even in a corporate setting. And Jesus said that those who fast with the proper motive, God will reward. Some versions say he'll repay. Now, I think that's pretty awesome. So right there is a promise that if we fast, there's reward that comes. More than just kind of the compliments of the applause, right? But God will move in our situations. So what about fasting in today's culture? Okay? I want to make just some closing comments, if you will. Number one, I believe that fasting is a spiritual discipline that is needed now more than ever before. As our nation continues to spiral in more and more of a secular direction, we, the church, need to rise like cream to the top. And we need to intercede for our nation. And the spiritual discipline of fasting, it's getting darker, folks. And fasting will help to make the light burn ever brighter. Okay? Then the second thing is, fasting is a selfless, humble act that God blesses, and it benefits others, as well as ourselves. You know, we just saw the verse that said that God will reward us when we fast with proper motives. Thirdly, fasting brings an anointing and an empowerment that prayer alone does not provide. Prayer is wonderful, and much can be accomplished with prayer. But when you add fasting to our prayers, the power and the anointing just increase that much more. And that's where strongholds get broken, and that's where, you know, those wonderful breakthroughs come in people's lives. Also, understand that fasting should be done wisely and increased slowly. This is a very practical point. That if you've never fasted or if you're not used to fasting, I would recommend maybe fasting a meal a day. Fast for 3 days, maybe one meal a day for those 3 days. You all know human bodies and medically, you know, I've had people say I can't fast medically. You have to know what you can and can't do. But understand that when you first start fasting, the blood that's used to digest the food starts going to other places. You ever fasted and got headaches and different things like that? Well, it's because the blood that was so used to digesting food is going to other places to do things. And you go through initially this period of feeling worse before you feel better. But as you stick with it, then you'll find that God, there's some grace just to fast. But you want to do it wisely and increase it slowly. And then the final point I want to make, and this is maybe the most important, is that fasting should be spirit-led. The Bible says that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. And there he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And I'll tell you this. When God leads you by the Holy Spirit to fast, he will give you the strength and he will give you the grace that you need to fast. Okay? When we opened up as a church, God put on my heart, he called me to 2 10-day fasts a year. And one of those 10-day fasts, I would invite the church, and we would fast together. Some would fast a meal a day, maybe one day. Some would fast 3 days, 7 days, all 10 days. And then I would do one private fast. And eventually, about 3 years before it happened, the Lord spoke to me that he says, there's a day coming where I'm going to call you for the 40-day fast. But it took me about 3 years mentally to gear up for that. And I knew when the time came. And So there's three of us at the church that did a 40-day fast, and one person did a 30-day fast, and many others did. We were fasting parts of that. On day 39, I had an associate pastor, Doug Hill, at the time, and he, day 39 of our fast, we were out shoveling sand because we just got new sand for the playground. And we had a strength and an energy that defied logic. Okay? And there are times that I woke up and I wake up in the morning and say, I think I'm going to fast. Didn't feel led of the Spirit, you know. And fasting is not a good weight loss measure, all right? I figured out since I've been here, I've lost about 300 pounds fasting. Problem is I've gained about 300, way more than 300 back, all right? So don't do it as a weight loss measure. But there are days that I tried to fast for a day when God wasn't in it, and I couldn't do it for a day. I mean, you're talking to someone who's, you know, I've done 20, at least 20 10-day fasts, and multiple 7 and 3-day fasts, and 40-day fasts. Because God was in it. He gave the grace and the ability to do it. You saw amazing results because of it. So it's got to be led with the Spirit. And understand, when God says, I want you to fast, use common sense. And work into it if it's the day of week. You see, the religious leaders fasted 2 days a week. But they made their appearance look bad. They had gloomy faces. They had all this kind of stuff. Because they wanted everybody to see that they were fasting. And there was no value, from God's perspective, in them doing that. So fasting was many did it, but it's those who do it with the right motives that God will reward and bless us. So I think that this is, to a large degree, a missing element in the church. And some might say, well, gee, Pastor Joe, you haven't called a fast for a while, or at least, I did a 3-day fast. You don't call enough fasts. Well, how many of you know you don't have to wait for the pastor to call a fast to fast? Okay? What I call a fast is that we do it corporately. God can call you to fast anytime. And again, when God calls you and you obey, there is a grace. You know what I used to do on these 10-day fasts? What I love to do? I love to cook for my family. And then I'd sit down at the table when they're all eating. My poor kids. Finish your food. Finish it. You got to eat it. Eat it all up. Go ahead. How's it taste? Is it good? I was eating vicariously, I guess, through them. I don't know. But I love to be around food. I would cook it. I would sit with my family here and meal. That's because God called me to fast. When he didn't call me, get out of my way, man. I'm going to the dinner table. So, in the days ahead, I want to encourage you to fast as God would lead you. Start out small, whether it's a meal a day, a Daniel fast. And again, you need to take the time that's freed up from not eating to spend that time in focused prayer and study the Word and fasting. And those coupled together, I believe, will bring about incredible results. Amen.